San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening. I am Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're not heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle, and down to Cabo, out to the desert on a good night. And now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author, and he is a family office expert advising several high net worth families. Richard Muzio. Richard, how are you tonight?
I am marvelous, Joe. So I want to know, how did we do on our Academy Award prediction?
Well, you and I both wanted Wolf of Wall Street to win. I did say I wouldn't be surprised if 12 Years a Slave does win Best Picture, and apparently that's when I saw them when I saw it winning the Best Screenplay. I forget if it was adapted or original, but I thought the writing was on the wall then, because I thought Wolf of Wall Street should have won Best Screenplay too. But and of course, we both like Judi Dench. But what were your thoughts?
My thoughts are I would vote for Judi Dench for anything that she was running for. Class president, the Academy Awards, you name it.
That was a good movie. Did you see Philomena?
No, I didn't see Philomena.
Based on a true story. So.
But I'd vote for Judi Dench anyway.
Yeah, well, she I thought the whole film was well made. So
did we get them all right or not?
No, we didn't get anything.
I didn't think we didn't get any right.
We got as much as Leo DiCaprio got, which was zilch. And I think that's a darn shame, because anyway, I didn't see Dallas Buyers Club, and he won Best Actor. Did you happen to see that one?
No, I didn't see that one.
Did you see any of them?
I saw some of them, but you know what's interesting? I didn't think Wolf of Wall Street had any chance at all.
Uh-huh.
Because when you look at the money that's behind certain things in this country, I think there's a lot of folks who didn't really like that depiction of
Wall Street.
Of the, you know.
Well, you know, that was my theory. You know, they'd rather call attention to slavery rather than financial fraud, because there's probably just as much going on in Hollywood as there, you know, with their alchemy of accounting as there is in Wall Street. But you know, that's not to say there aren't a lot of good people out there doing a lot of good things, a lot of good works, which we're going to talk about today as well. So, speaking of which, well, how about last week's show with Malcolm Avner and Carl Sheeler? I know you wanted to discuss conscious capitalism a little bit as a...
Yeah, we got great feedback on that. I wanted to mention that again, because I sort of consider this show that we're doing tonight to be a box set with last week's show.
Mm-hmm.
Last week, of course, we had Malcolm Avner on,
mm-hmm.
Along with one of our sponsors, Carl Sheeler, to talk about Conscious Capitalism,
mm-hmm.
Which is the book that was written by John Mackey, who is the founder of and the co-CEO of Whole Foods Market,
mm-hmm.
as well as the Professor Ra Sisodia.
I think it's kind of cool when these CEOs go public with philanthropy or good deeds or anything in the social aspect. You know, a lot of them just sit in their offices, I guess, and conduct board meetings and try to just be profitable every quarter.
Well, what I find really neat about Conscious Capitalism, again, everybody check out their website, consciouscapitalism.org. They do have their international conference here in San Diego from April 9th to April 11th.
Mm-hmm.
All the information's on their website, again, consciouscapitalism.org. What I really find interesting about this concept is how it incorporates so many more stakeholders into what a business is doing. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that with our guest who's coming up here in a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Because most people think about stakeholders in a business as being primarily the stockholders or the owners of the company.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they sort of extend that down to the employees, the people who are doing all of the work to make the engine run.
Yeah.
But to consider the competition, the government, vendors and suppliers, obviously the community and the environment, a long, long list of other stakeholders that are identified in conscious capitalism, that I think is really sort of the wave of the future in terms of how business is going to be more collaborative and less competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a very interesting show in that regard, because I think it really opens up some new ideas about...
When you say conscious capitalism, would it be proper to say socially conscious capitalism, or is that what we're going to...
You could
we're
say that. In the book, they actually identify socially conscious capitalism as sort of a brother of conscious capitalism, but it goes beyond just merely... looking at the social aspect or the environmental aspect of what businesses are doing.
Mm-hmm.
to all different kinds of stakeholders.
Now they're having their big event at Paradise Point.
Paradise Point, April 9th, 10th, 10th and 11th.
Yeah.
ConsciousCapitalism.org. There's still a few seats left, I understand.
Apparently there were 3,000 last year, and they had to limit it to 500 this year, right?
Yeah, they decided to have a much smaller gathering, raise the price a little bit, and maybe get a little bit more focused.
And they have some pretty big names coming in, right?
Holy cow, they've got some big names coming up, including Roz Sisodia, the Harvard fellow who did all of the research behind the numbers in the book that explains how over the long term companies that follow this approach will outperform their old-fashioned competitors economically.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting stuff.
We'll bring it on home. Well, first we should congratulate. We have a new mayor.
Let's talk about Conscious San Diego first. And then.
Well, we have a new mayor in town, so congratulations to Kevin Faulkner, our new mayor. He was just sworn in this week. And our new police chief, a woman. How about that for groundbreaking?
She was sworn in by her brother.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yep. That's kind of cool. But then on the flip side, you know, there's been a little trouble with this. Remember I said these CEOs have been coming and going, the revolving door at the Balboa Park Committee, and I thought they were in a little trouble. Well, it turns out they've burned through $2.8 million, and I don't think the accounting's been all that transparent yet.
But look how much they've gotten done. And for my next joke.
Anyway, gosh, it's back in the city council's court now, and hopefully the new mayor, I guess he's going to work with Todd Gloria because that's his district, but you would think there's enough interested parties with means in this county and city that would love to have some spectacular events in Balboa Park. And I trust and hope that the people like our guest, Malin Burnham, remember he put on the America's Cup, we started with nothing?
Right, started with nothing.
Yeah. So they've got to get people like him involved, and I think Irwin Jacobs and Darlene Shiley and the big philanthropy crowd and all their minions and contacts.
I think Mr. Jacobs might be a little bit burned out on Balboa Park.
Yeah, he might be. And it's through no fault of his own. You know, his project was approved by the entire city council with one dissenting vote.
Yeah, one dissenting vote.
And then all of a sudden, I don't know where the wheels came off, but they could have tweaked that a little bit and kept him, interested. But
anyway, suffice it to say, our new mayor has some things to work on.
He most certainly does. But anyway, I think we ought to begin the process of introducing our guest, because when we come back from break, she's going to be on the phone with us. So
she's holding right now, so we better introduce her. What do you think?
Yeah, we should. This woman is the American-Israeli leader of a business and philanthropic empire that spans the globe. And in 2010, she received the American-Israel Friendship League's Partners for Democracy Award in recognition of her contribution to advancing economic relations between the U.S. and Israel. And in 2011 and 2012, she was ranked by Forbes magazine as one of the world's most powerful women, and positioning her as a force for a good in business and philanthropy. And she was also ranked second on Forbes' list of the world's greatest billionaires. Wow, that sings. And a woman. And she also wrote a bestseller called Birth, When the Spiritual and the Material Come Together. And she's the mother of four children. She resides in Israel, but when we come back, we'll have her on the phone. So
we're also going to be talking about the latest book that she wrote, which is called Activate Your Goodness.
Right.
Which is, I think, the book that you were just quoting her bio from.
Right.
That's a really neat book because it...
It's called... The subtitle is Transforming the World Through Doing Good.
But so, I want to mention that because tomorrow, at least here in the U.S., which is Sunday, March 9th, in the U.S., it's Good Deeds Day.
Mm-hmm.
So Sherry... Her name, by the way, is Sherry Arison.
Right.
And she's going to be talking about Good Deeds Day as well.
And she's pals with people such as President Bill Clinton and Deepak Chopra and some of the great thought leaders on the planet. Of course, in big letters in the back of her book, it says, think good, speak good, do good. So actually, you know, thoughts lead to words, and words lead to action. It makes pretty much sense.
But if you want to sign up for Good Deeds Day, Joe, all you have to do is Google Good Deeds Day, and it comes up with their website. You just sign up.
Really? And there's no apps. I mean, it could be anything you want to do, helping an elderly person across the street,
picking up trash, helping people,
give some change to a homeless person or something, or
Good Deeds Day actually goes on for about 3 days. In other countries, it's other days. I think in Sherry's homeland of Israel, I believe it's on March 11th.
Yeah, and then hopefully we get in the habit of doing more good things and and make that a habit in our lives. And you're seeing more and more of it, though. Aren't you seeing more companies take up the mantle to...
More and more companies are doing what we're going to be talking about, as well as looking very heavily into and actually participating in this concept of conscious capitalism, like we spoke about last week with Malcolm Abner and one of our great sponsors, Carl Sheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Carl, of course, spoke about how culture can actually improve the value of businesses.
And then we mentioned Apple a little bit, and that's kind of been a mixed bag, but I think they
You saw what their CEO said in public, didn't you?
Yeah, he got a little angry with the climate change deniers, but anyway. But look, we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come right back with Sherry Arison. She'll be on the phone with us. I believe she's in New York, and stay tuned. We'll be right back with It's Your Money and Your Life, the award-winning show, right after this announcement.
Hi, we're here with Sherry Arison. Sherry, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing well. I understand you're in New York City?
Yes, I'm in New York City. We're doing a kickoff at NASDAQ, a call to action to all businesses involved with Good Deeds Day.
Good Deeds Day is on Sunday, March 9th. So it's coming up here.
That's right.
And we're very excited out here in California. We're going to be participating as well. But before we really chat about Good Deeds Day, sort of wanted to talk about who you are and a little bit about your background so our listeners can learn a little bit more about you. You obviously are very, very famous in the Middle East, maybe not quite as well known here out in the United States. But could you give us a little brief biographical background about Israel, growing up in this country as well as there, and what you do both philanthropically as well as business-wise?
Okay, well, I grew up in this country. I was born in New York and raised in Miami. Moved to Israel in 91, and I've been living there since. I own a business and philanthropic organization. On the business side, we have Bank Leumi, which is the largest bank in Israel. Shikun & Binoy, which is the largest infrastructure and real estate company. All these companies are global, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I started a company called MIA, which is a water initiative where we bring millions of people water that didn't have water before. And we also have Salt Industries in Israel. On the philanthropic side, I have a family foundation and several organizations, one dealing with volunteerism, another which is a spiritual organization, Essence of Life, and I started Good Deeds Day, which I'm sure we'll talk about as well.
So you sound sort of busy.
Yeah, I'm busy, but it's all good things.
So did you go to school in New York growing up, Sherry, or in college, or where did that take place?
Yeah, I was at Miami-Dade College in Miami, I was in Miami for years, and then I moved to Israel.
Wonderful. So you're dual...
I still have a home in Miami, though. I go back and forth.
Great. So dual citizen of Israel and U.S., or...?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay.
Dual citizen.
Great.
So we've done a lot of radio shows about sustainability. Can you tell us a little bit more about what you're doing with water and salt and some of that background and why that's so important?
Yeah, as you know, California, we're pretty challenged.
We really, Salt is one of our companies, but we lead in sustainability with Shikun & Binoy, which is our infrastructure and real estate company. And we do this by really, you know, looking at all the needs of the environment. It's from, you know, green architectures, it's all the materials that we use, it's looking at energy and water, renewable energy and water. It's, you know, caring about even the vegetation when we build a highway or a bridge or whatever it is that we're building, vegetation, any vegetation that comes out goes back in so that it's, you know, the nature is replenished. Looking at animals. I mean, it's really on all levels.
What do they do about water there? Because obviously it's starting to impact California. You know, we've been in a pretty bad drought. And obviously Israel, climate-wise, is probably a little drier than here. So what does Israel do to produce or conserve water that maybe we could learn from?
Well, we also have we also produce water, but basically our company, MIA, is a global. We actually do not work in Israel. We work around the world. We work in Brazil and in the Bahamas and South Africa. And, you know, we have many projects all around the world. We have a project in Manila that's bringing 3 million people water that did not have water before. Basically, we do this by urban water systems, making them more efficient. Because a lot of the water is lost in leakage, basically in our pipes underground. And many cities around the world lose anywhere from 3 to 70% of their water, which is good water. So we, with technology, basically save the water that's being lost.
Is there any desalination plants or processing going on in Israel or that we should know about?
Yes, we built, actually, we built the largest desalination plant, one of the largest in the world, and we built that in Hedera. That's our infrastructure and real estate company that built it, and it supplies about 20% of the water in Israel.
Wow. So, Sherry, question. This is actually going to lead into talking about your book, Activate Your Goodness. But last Saturday night, we did a show about the topic of conscious capitalism, which is a movement founded out here in the United States by a gentleman named John Mackey, who's the founder of Whole Foods, a very famous, very sustainable grocery chain. But the question is this. When you were making inroads into things like sustainability, and a more maybe conscious approach to doing business, did you in your role in your company run into any resistance from other officers or board members about some of these concepts of sustainability or bringing value into the community as opposed to just focusing on return on investment?
And just changing the culture in general.
I mean, I could tell you that when I started talking about the vision of sustainability, it took 10 years to get people to even understand, you know, why we should do this. But I find that, you know, through awareness and education and engaging people, although it takes a lot of time, when it does get done, it's across the board and it becomes DNA. And that's what happened with us. So it takes a long time to convince people to bring in the right board members and the management teams and to get people on board. But now I can be totally part of the entire company.
So you've been successful in getting these concepts ingrained as part of the culture of your company?
Yes. It's, you know, the vision of the Arison Group is the vision, and basically we want to bring added value to people on the planet and everything that we do. Although it's business, you know, and we want to make a profit, but alongside profit, I believe that you can bring out added value to people and the planet. And we try to do this in all of our businesses, and of course in philanthropy as well. In philanthropy, it's more, you know, people are more aware, and it's, you know, you people do invest socially. But in businesses, it's harder to have it ingrained, and it takes time to really educate people.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're mother of four, too. Are your children involved in much in this as well, or are they more just
getting with this? Actually, all my kids are on the board, both of our investments, the business side, and also the philanthropic side.
Great.
And my eldest son, Jason, is in charge. He's the chairman of all the philanthropy. And my second son, David, is in charge of global relations for MIA, our water company. So the kids are very involved.
Outstanding.
What ages are your children?
My oldest is going to be 33 in March, and then my second son is 30, my daughter's 29, and then I have my youngest son is 18, and he already being involved as well.
Now, you must work out. I'm looking at your website, and you don't look old enough to have kids that old, so what do you do?
Granddaughters. Yes, I do work out, actually.
Yes.
I like to run in the park in the morning. I think it's important to take care of ourselves.
Yes. Well, Richard has a foundation, Move Your Feet Before You Eat, and he's, you know, and he's a big runner himself.
Yeah, we promote everyday physical activity and healthy eating just as part of your daily routine, but our foundation actually then encourages the people who do that to get out and collaborate and volunteer in their community and work side by side with people who are different than they are, you know, by having diverse people work together on community causes. I think it serves to break down the barriers that intolerance sometimes tends to put up. So it's worked really, really well.
Yeah, oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
We do a lot of that field as well. So, yes, that's wonderful.
I'm trying to get the kids eat healthier in schools here, you know, working on that, getting rid of the sodas and whatnot. So are your initiatives, you're doing great work around the world. Are you doing anything in the U.S.? Because we need help here, too.
Well, in the U.S., like I said, Good Deeds Day, which is a day that I started 8 years ago, started in Israel. It's grown worldwide. And it's already in 50 different countries. And in the United States, last year it was in 20 states, and this year in 29 regions across the country. So there's a lot, there's thousands of people volunteering their time. We have two organizations, volunteer organizations that collaborate with us this year, Volunteer Match and Catch a Fire. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot going on in the States this year.
Great, great. So should we get into Good Deeds Day, Richard, and the origins and where, how you came up with the concept? And
yeah, let's do that. But I think we have to take a quick break.
Yeah. Yes. Sherry, why don't you hang on? We got to take a break. We'll come right back with more of It's Your Money and Your Life right after this.
Now, It's Your Money and Your Life on AM 760 KFMB.
Now we're back with Sherry Arison. So, Sherry, we were talking about Good Deeds Day. Is there any way for you to estimate, for example, on March 9th on Sunday, which is tomorrow, any way to estimate about how many people are going to participate in this worldwide?
Well, we already have over 500,000 people who have signed up. But what's amazing is we accumulated 2 million hours of volunteering for Good Deeds Day this March 9th, which is amazing. It's already spread to 50 different countries, 5 continents, and like I said, all around the United States as well. So it's pretty amazing.
So where did this begin, and where did you get the concept to do this?
Well, like I was talking about my businesses and philanthropy, I'm always trying to find ways to create positive change in the world. I did this with the companies, with the businesses, philanthropy, with my book, Activate Your Goodness, which talks about good with oneself and in all circles of life, and within your family, within your community, and within the planet. And Good Tuesday was just another idea, and I realized that it's such a simple idea that everyone can do a good deed. The message is that a smile that brightens someone else's day is a good deed. So go out and volunteer for a cause, or you could donate money, but you could also just adopt a pet or bake a cake for your neighbor just because, or, you know, see a piece of trash and throw it in the garbage. So it's very, very easy to do. And people are connecting, and what it does is really all the barriers are come down. Everybody unites around this simple idea. You have all cultures, all religions, and all ages coming together to do good.
Yeah, what I really like about it, most people think of philanthropy or charity as writing checks to charities, which of course is very important, but Good Deeds Day encourages people to actually get out and take action and do things. And I think when people bring their time and their talents and the other people that they know and their networks, the resources that people can bring to bear on community causes, most times is much more scalable and leverageable than merely writing checks. That's what I think is so neat about it.
What if we get to the point where doing one good, one good deed a week would be good?
Sorry, what were you saying?
I'm just saying we might get to the point where we get in the habit, we'll do one good deed a week, and you know, and it'll carry out through the whole year, right?
Well, what's amazing is that what we've seen is that most people who sign up for Good Deeds Day continue to volunteer all year round. So it really pushes, you know, and inspires people to take that action and to do good. Because it's so simple and because each person can do it in their own individual unique way, because people do it according to their heart's desire. For one person or organization or business, it could be working with the elderly. For someone else, it could be with children or the handicapped or the arts, or each one in their own unique way, whatever they connect to.
Do all of the employees of your organizations participate, or is that totally voluntary?
It's voluntary, but we have thousands of employees. First of all, we're in 40 different countries across the globe, 5 continents, and we have 27,000 employees, and our employees take part in Good Deeds Day all around the world.
Oh, that's neat. That's neat. So are you still going to be in, will you still be in this country on Good Deeds Day, or are you going to be heading home to Israel before then?
Well, in Israel, Good Deeds Day is on the 11th, not the 9th, because of logistics.
Sure.
So I will be in Miami for Good Deeds Day on the 9th, and then I fly back to Israel, and then I do Good Deeds Day in Israel. So I'm starting in New York with projects, flying back to the Bahamas, doing Good Deeds Day projects in Bahamas, on to Miami, and then back to Israel, continuing to do good deeds.
So you are busy.
Now, this must impact
I'm very busy, but I think it's really important to inspire people and drive people to connect to goodness. I really see a change in the world when you have so many people coming together around doing good.
Now, this must be impacting a peace in your region of the world, right? So on Good Deeds Day, do you see a lot of good happening even amongst conflicting parties and interests?
That's what's amazing about Good Deeds Day. I have to tell you that in our region, never has there been something that has connected people in the way that Good Deeds Day has connected everyone.
Hmm.
We have all of the Jewish municipalities coming in, but also all of the Arabic municipalities as well. So we have all cultural backgrounds, all religious backgrounds, and all ages going out and doing a good deed on the day. It happens to be that in Israel, on the 11th, 8,000 projects in one day.
Fantastic.
Wow, that's amazing. Hey, Sherry, I want to talk a little bit about your latest book, Activate Your Goodness. But before I do that, just one funny question. When you are in Miami, do you find time to attend basketball games for your brother's basketball team? Your brother Mickey owns the Miami Heat.
Sometimes, this time, I'm only going to be there for a couple of days, so I don't have the time.
Okay.
Yes.
But how does it feel to have a brother who employs LeBron James, the world's most famous basketball player?
Well, I actually grew up with it with my dad, so it's part of the family.
It's part of the family.
Hey,
okay.
They're going for a three-peat this year, aren't they?
They are. That's right, yeah.
I wish them well.
Well, I was a Chicago Bulls fan, so I know how exhilarating and exciting it is to have a great series of championships in your city. So, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, Sherry, you're a very accomplished author. I know that your first book was called Birth, When the Spiritual and the Material Come Together. And then more recently, you wrote a book called Activate Your Goodness. Again, our mutual connection is your literary agent, William Gladstone, who's a neighbor of mine in Leucadia, California. Can you tell us why you decided to become an author? And I'm a little bit more interested in your latest book, Activate Your Goodness, because I think it's a little bit more on point for Good Deeds Day. But what compelled you?
I have to give Bill credit for that, because after he read Earth, When the Spiritual and Material Come Together, he got in touch with me and he actually encouraged me to write another book.
Oh, wow, that's neat.
So it was really his doing to push me and inspire me to do this. And because the vision of our group is doing good, we decided to write the book on Activate Your Goodness. And the idea is really how you can activate your goodness in all circles of your life, starting with yourself, a person with themselves, because you can't really do good for others unless you do good for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then on circles within your family, within your, workplace, or if you're a student, within your community, and within our humanity and the planet. So that's what the book's about. And it became instantly a New York Times bestseller, translated in Hebrew, became a bestseller in Israel. And what's amazing, it's been, sold to 40 different countries, 20 different languages, including all the Arab countries. So it's really motivating people to goodness in the world.
Sherry, what motivated you? Something must have inspired you to get so active and creative in this space. I mean, there's a lot of CEOs and successful people who, they write checks, but they don't get personally involved. And obviously, you've done more than that. I mean, what was your source of inspiration?
Well, I've always cared about the future of humanity and the future of our planet, and I really believe that if we all start to think good and good and do good, we'll see a shift and we'll see this in the world. But you have to focus on it. I believe that we all have a part to play. We're one humanity. Each one has their own responsibility and their own part to play, and I try to do my part.
So what I find interesting is your first tenet is basically to think good. So you actually believe that thoughts are just as real, for example, as actions or other things that are evidence in the universe, correct?
Definitely. I think it starts with your intention, how you think, and we create, we create the future that we want to see. So mm-hmm. if we think good and speak good and do good, we're going to create good.
That's,
and I truly believe that.
I just quoted Peter Drucker. He said the best way to predict the future is to create it. So you just said it right there.
So Sherry, what plans?
I truly believe that.
So you're obviously very accomplished and have accomplished so much. What plans do you have for the future?
for the future, well, I'm working on another book. I'm not going to tell you yet what it's about, but I'm working on it. I'm always trying to be creative and find ways to bring change in everything that I do.
Do you get out to San Diego much at all? Have you ever been in this neck of the woods? Because we're pretty proud of our city, too.
Actually, I have been, and it's because California was calling me the last few years. So the last 3 years, every year, I've managed to get to California. I don't know what. Something in the universe has been calling me to get over there, so I've been.
And what did you think of our Academy Awards this year? Did you watch the show at all?
Actually, I didn't. I would love to, but I had just flown into New York, so I didn't get a chance to see it.
Have you seen any of the...
I know everybody's talking about it today.
Yeah. Well, there's some great films. I liked Wolf of Wall Street. I don't know if you had a chance. 12 Years a Slave obviously won Best Picture, but Philomena was great. A lot of excellent films this year, so hope you get a chance.
Hey, Sherry, we have to wrap up due to commitments on Studio 10. We really appreciate it. We're encouraging all of our listeners to get out and participate in Good Deeds Day. We're very excited to be able to spread that message and keep up the great work. What you're doing for this world is truly amazing.
Yeah, thanks so much for being our guest. Thank you again to Sherry Arison, one of the most influential, powerful businesswomen in the Middle East, and now over to, and probably here too, now over to Richard to thank our sponsors.
Joe, she's more influential than just in the Middle East. I mean, after all, her brother owns the Miami Heat. So I don't know how much influence LeBron James has on the world.
The family.
Apparently it's some. Oh, thank you, sponsors.
Yes.
Sorry, I get carried away when I talk about basketball. UBS with Mr. Michael Carantra and Drew Freitas. Very much appreciate all of your help. Right across the street from UBS in lovely downtown La Jolla, of course, we have Regents Bank, San Diego's best business bank, with Steve Sefton and Sean Puckett. Joel Grushkin, who I'm spending a ton of time with cost segregation initiatives, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. And boy, is there a lot of opportunity right now if you happen to be the owner of commercial real estate, given all of the changes in the IRS regulations on this matter. Speaking of the IRS, our favorite CPAs on the planet, not only our favorite, but also the best. Polito Epic CPAs up in Vista, that would be Paul Polito and Don Epic. They're getting through tax season swimmingly because they are so good at what they do. Carl Sheeler, last week's guest, along with Malcolm, with Berkeley Research Group, helping business owners improve the value of their businesses by understanding or better understanding the risks involved and how to improve or reduce the amount of risk with the businesses that they own to improve business value. Attorney at Law, Brenda Geiger, and the Geiger Law Offices, helping business owners and wealthy individuals with asset protection planning and estate planning. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, our newest daddy, who's now pregnant again. Well, he's not pregnant, but his wife is. So it's going to be one baby after the other. So that's exciting stuff. But Jason, of course, with Signature Analytics, runs a great CFO company. And really helps business owners get a much better grip on their financial.
Expanding the board of directors.
Expanding the board of directors, exactly. Our newest sponsor, the Lombardi Group, and their related companies, the LG Experience and My Perfect Client, helping CPAs and wealth advisors bring much better value to their very best clients and actually be heroes to their very best clients. And just for the heck of it, since you're going to refer everybody to our website, let's thank the lovely young lady, Courtney Laver, who does our great website. Courtney, of course, is with PopX Graphics. And if you want a website that is as cool as ours, you want to track Courtney down at PopX Graphics.
Right. Also, she takes out all the commercials and puts our podcasts up on our website every Monday. So you can hear this show and all of our shows. We've got a lot of great ones from the past. So if you want to hear some people like Irwin Jacobs, Malin Burnham, George Takei, Don Rickles, we have them all.
Don't forget Billie Jean King,
Dick
Enberg, Jim Lampley.
Yes.
The beat goes on.
Just go through on our page there, you can go to the online archives and just scroll down or do a search on our website. We have a search engine. And by the way, you can go to our website, iymoney.com, and find all of our sponsors there just by putting your cursor over sponsors. There's a drop-down menu. All of their background information, their contact information is there. And Richard has had many, many years of success with each and all of them. Right, Richard?
I've known all of these folks for many, many years, some of them for as much as 25 years, which I don't like to admit in public.
But, I mean, that's so great that you have, you know, we have a show that we're able to share your personal contacts. It's not just like we, you know,
Well, what's interesting, Joe, is we just got done doing our interview with Sherry, and, of course, last week's show about conscious capitalism. One of the big themes is collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at our list of sponsors, and if you look at what I do specifically, I'm constantly relying on our sponsors to do things that I need done for the people that I represent that I don't per se do, but I need to be involved or in the loop, as they say, mm-hmm. with the work that's being done for these wealthy families, these successful, closely held businesses. And so I think what we do really, really emphasizes collaboration and really shows how this collaborative approach that Malcolm and Carl spoke about,
yeah,
and that Sherry spoke about how it really, really does work. And the cool thing is all of our sponsors, they're not only great business people and great at doing what they do, but they do an amazing job of contributing back to their communities, in most cases, the San Diego community,
yeah,
because they're very local.
Well, why don't we talk? You did read the book.
Two great books. I'm not going to talk about the first one, Conscious Capitalism by John Mackey and Ross Asodia. You can pick it up at Whole Foods when you're picking up your quinoa and your kale. It's mm-hmm. right there in the checkout line. And then, of course, Sherry Arison's latest book, Activate Your Goodness. Joe, right. Can you describe that book a little bit for
sure.
our listeners?
Sure. Well, it's a practical guide for doing good for yourself and others, and you know, it offers you inspiration for immediate improvement of your life and the lives of those around you. And let's see, she's one of the world's most powerful women, as I said, you know, owner of the business empire. And she describes her extraordinary experiences, how she integrated the power of doing good in all aspects of her life and career. And the unexpected and delightful insight that emerges from the book proves that when you find a way to do good for others, you also do good for yourself. So this is a book to share with your loved ones and those who are partners in your desire to create a better world for future generations. So activate your goodness and discover ways to make your life joyful beyond measure.
Which we could all do tomorrow on Good Deeds Day.
Right. She dedicates the book to every individual who goes out and does good deeds for the benefit of others. So that's kind of cool.
And you know what? We had her literary agent as a prior guest on our show. That would be Mr. William Gladstone.
Yeah.
You remember him?
Yes. I also noticed that this book is published by Hay House. And isn't that
Louise Hay's company up in Carlsbad?
Carlsbad, yeah. Yeah. I think they also have offices in New York, London, Sydney, etc. So
it's a great book. I highly recommend that you pick up Activate Your Goodness. Now, you cannot buy that one at Whole Foods along with your quinoa and your kale.
Well, how do you get this? Amazon?
You can Amazon.com. Also, you can get it off of Sherry's website, www. I don't need to say those W's.
Well,
Sherry Arison.
Right, Sherry, yes.
.com.
There you go. Okay. There you go. But, boy, she sounds like a bundle of dynamite, doesn't she? I really enjoyed,
you know, her. Well, as she mentioned, her father is Ted Arison, the founder of Carnival Cruises.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother is Mickey Arison, who owns the Miami Heat.
Right.
So I think she's used to being around some pretty high-functioning people, and she certainly has held up her end of the bargain in terms of all the things that she's doing,
mm-hmm.
both philanthropically and in the business world.
Yep. So so you read the book. What couple of thoughts really stood out at you?
The neat thing about her book is that, and this is the whole thing behind Good Deeds Day, it's go out tomorrow, which is Good Deeds Day here in the U.S., and actually do a good deed for somebody, pick up some trash, hold some doors open for people, whatever the case may be. But she says then you want to get to the point where you sort of start practicing this on a more regular basis. You don't need just to wait, you know, another 365 days till next year's Good Deeds Day to go out and do a good deed. She says try to incorporate doing a good deed into your weekly routine, and then try to incorporate doing a good deed into your daily routine.
So, and obviously, there's some self-interest here too, because her whole theory is you do good for others, and you're actually doing good for yourself in the process, right? I mean,
well, there's benefits, and you know, my foundation has shown the benefits of some of this when people get out and do work in their community.
Mm-hmm.
How when people who are different, when they're diverse, and obviously she comes from a place where people are very diverse, Israel, but they're also, of course, proximate to Palestine, where there's been, you know, centuries-old debate over all kinds of issues, both religious and territorial.
You know, I was at
But when people who are different work together, I think, to make their communities a better place, it tends to break down the barriers that intolerance otherwise puts up.
And I just think doing any, I heard of a story yesterday, I won't name names, but it's at a very significant medical institution here, and they actually instituted a monthly program where people can get together and hear distinguished speakers. They did that in an effort to, one of the founders was getting elderly, and wasn't getting out much anymore, and actually getting into a little bit of a depression. And by initiating this program, it brought a whole new vista of enthusiasm to that person's life. And they know who I'm talking about out there. But it really it's amazing when you get reignited in your community with something that's really that really interests you. It can turn lives around, right, Richard?
Yeah, it can. And in fact, we practice good deeds here at the radio show. We had a previous guest named J.W. August, who we turned on to a certain situation that I'm not going to talk about in public, where somebody really, really did something important done. It involved the displacement of a disabled person from their apartment unit for no good reason, except that the landlord was really, really mean.
Yeah.
And so through our efforts, because of our contacts and our networks, you know, we're able to get a really beneficial result for this person. It just goes to show you the power of collaboration, and if you actually practice this. And so we always want to thank our prior guests for doing great works in the community. So JW, thank you again for what you did a few months ago.
Anyway, we've got to wrap it right here though, Richard. Thank
good
you.
Deeds Day tomorrow. Everybody sign up.
You got it. Thanks.
And don't just stop tomorrow. Do it every day.
Right. Thanks, Richard. Thank you, Shari Irison, and thank you for listening out there. Thank you to Justin Hart, our sound engineer, for making us sound great, and to Craig Blank, your account executive, and to our programming genius here at KFMB. Thank you. Have a great week. We'll see you next week with Joe Sorge, all about Divorce Corp. Take care now.